This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta A-Stars. Kalamazoo's Ladislav Hanka tromps through woods and fields with a passion to connect with the world around him. Hanka, who has a background in science, is best known for his exquisite drawings and etchings of trees, landscapes, fish, and birds. In his new book, In Pursuit of Birds, A Foray with Field Glasses and Sketchbook, Hanka has collected 200 drawings and etchings covering 35 years of printmaking. And he's combined them with a talent for storytelling. Hanka tells the story of how he was brought up in the Czech Republic to love nature and call birds by name.
As a child, I was being brought up to know birds, to know nature. My immigrant parents, for whom that was absolutely essential, that defined somehow who they were, the Czech countryside and the Czech birds and all that, the Central European, and all the migration. So I learned all these things bilingually, continually. But of course, I could never really be fully an American because we were in exile. But I'm also an American in the sense that I've really learned to know the landscape. I was brought to that probably by that exile of my parents. And now I know things about the place that I inhabit that very few people do because I've put so much effort into it, not just as a naturalist and as a scientist, but as an artist as well, as a spiritual seeker, one who looks for the native traditions as well. And this is why I also publish in Ojibwe. Not because I speak the language, but because it needs to be honored as a piece of that place that we inhabit. So knowing the bird life, knowing them by song, being able to identify them by the least little chip, all of that is really important. In a lot of ways, it became something that became inculcated in me as a student going to Europe, as a Kalamazoo College student on foreign exchange. And I say that in the book here. I have a little passage there about learning to rediscover my own Czech language, learning to speak good German, and finding out what it really means to be a European in a world inhabitant by visiting all the museums. And of course, you go in the hole with your little backpack and you're a dirt bag student. You're doing all the stuff right and being a cheapskate and living next to nothing and walking as far as you can without paying for bus fare, even riding illegally, I'll admit, here and there. And I ended up somehow in the middle of all that in the Maurits house in The Hague, in Holland, and encountering this painting of a goldfinch, which apparently is now in a fairly popular book. So I guess the goldfinch is everywhere right now. But Fabricius was an exquisite painter who came from the workshop of Rembrandt, and he did this painting of a goldfinch, a very simple, unassuming painting, but I encountered it, and something about the scales falling from my eyes happened there in the Maurits house. I encountered what it was I was born to do. To treat nature, to find the spiritual aspect in it, and to do it as an artist. And it took me some years of being a scientist and doing all manner of other things before I came back to being an artist. And at some point, as an older, experienced hand, I put together this book in which I have things like goldfinches and all the stories that I've encountered by pursuing birds across lots and lots of landscape. Very simple stories, lots of them. Some are convoluted, some are, you know, like I said, in exotic places. And I hope they entertain because the written word and the spoken word are extremely important carrying culture. And yet, of course, they exclude a great many people who don't speak that language. The drawings, of course, transcend language. They are like ideograms. They have their abstract sides. I do have messages encoded within them. There are things I want to say, but they're subtle. Don't beat you over the head. They're not telling you what to think. And of course, I want to tell my stories around it. We all tell our stories. I care about language enough to have worked on being able to write in a decent form and have something to say, and I hope that carries through.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. I'm speaking with Ladislav Hanka, who recalls a bird-watching trip to Romania, complete with Keystone Cop story.
I'd somehow made it through all the various borders and the train stations in Romania, for instance, during the Ceausescu regime had no lights on. They were saving energy, right? So you couldn't tell actually where the station was and where to get on or off. And since I don't speak Romanian, I had to do the best I could with some broken Spanish to try to come closer, you know, It was difficult, but I ended up in some little place called Babadag. It was a mostly Turkish-speaking village, and I was chasing birds around in people's backyards and gardens, and barn owls, which used to be common everywhere. You'd look at an old Baroque painting, and there'd be all these dead birds that are just exquisite, and all the children knew them, everybody knew them, and today they're rare. Well, in Babadag, that little Turkish village in Romania, there were all these rare birds, so I was chasing around people's backyards, and I got busted by the local cop for what? For taking photographs of shabby village architecture instead of cinder block buildings. Well, they hauled me into the station. I got just interviewed. It was like classic film noir with these kind of Mutt and Jeff team of guys that were taking turns being good cop and bad cop with me. You know, one of them I remember was studying my passport, and after a while he turned it right side up and studied it some more, and and then he looks at me and he takes this dramatic puff on his cigarette and stubs it out and gets up like Humphrey Bogart and so, "Mr. Kalamazoo, so what is it in this place that you think is so fascinating? I'd probably love to tell those people back at CIA how shabby our lives are. We live in these village architecture, this old buildings falling apart, you know, carved gables and thatched huts. We're not so dumb. We know what you're up to." And on this thing went. And a friend I was traveling with spoke good Romanian. He was traveling. He was translating for me. But yeah, it's just amazing what you run into. The suppositions that were there to subvert the regime by looking at really beautiful village architecture and painted gables and, you know, carved lintels over the doorways. And no. They attribute all the wrong motives to us.
And then, the last page, there's this wonderful stuff, end of book. And I was wondering, in fact, Lad, if you might not read one or two of these.
I suppose I could tell us that.
What they are.
Well, let's take us back to my K College days. I'm an alum of the place, and I love Kalamazoo College. And I go there periodically to the rare book room where Paul Smithson reigns supreme, and he puts together these exhibitions. They're rare gems that very few people know about, but they have an incredible collection of rare books there. Actually, Paul has put together a collection of some of the books they own of mine. It's a little secret of mine that I do all these book arts. I mostly show them elsewhere than Kalamazoo, but here and there. In any case, they collect them, and they put out a bunch of mine, and they're up for the next 3 months in the Todd Rare Book Room, and you can go there. Go up there and talk to Paul. He doesn't bite. He's a nice guy. He's been haunting the place. He swears that when he dies, he will continue to haunt the place, that they will have to have an exorcism to get rid of him. In any case, I was up there once for one of these shows, and he had a book of anathemas, and that just fascinated me. I started reading them, and what they are curses that traditionally are placed at the back of a book. Medieval monks particularly did that back when books were extremely valuable because they were written by hand and it took years to transcribe. Well, those people took great umbrage at somebody stealing or defacing the book or even, you know, writing little notes in the margins or handling them with dirty hands. And so a lot of these medieval books would have in the back something that the last monk to handle it had written in there, cursing you to eternal damnation or pain or something for having stolen this book. And there, so I took a few of these anathemas and I placed them in here, just to remind us how that goes. And a typical one here from the Abbey of St. Mary's Nicholas of Arnstein: "If anyone taketh this book, let him die the death. Let him be boiled in a cauldron. Let the falling sickness and fever seize him. Let him be broken on the wheel and hanged. Amen." Wow, that's strong stuff. Well, of course, I don't just quote other people's anathemas. I had to write one. I had to add one, too, for my bird book. So here, for this book of birds, an avian anathema. "For those who take and don't return this book I bought, whose loss I'd mourn, may avian flu infest your bowels and ugly wattles hide your jowls. May all your privates host the crabs and rooks and ravens pick the scabs. Because you dare to steal my tomes, may vultures descend and pick your bones."
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Ladislav Hanka, the author and artist of In Pursuit of Birds. Visit WMUK.org to hear our complete interview and join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.